Hello and welcome to the 6++ Show, a podcast for your wargaming and 40k needs. Hobby talk, tactics, tournament reports, lore and much more. We have it all. Please welcome your host for the evening, Tom.
Good night, goblin mobs. I hope you're all having a fantastic evening today. How are we all doing? I'm joined as always by Chris, dear leader Chris. How are you doing?
I'm very well. How are you, good sir?
I'm doing very well, thank you very much. I've invested a little bit, finally got that green screen.
Yeah, I was going to say that flag is no more.
I haven't asked him to do it, but I might, you know, when I come into some money, maybe commission John to draw me a nice background with a white flag sail or something in the background.
Yeah. I like that idea.
But there's no rush on that one. You been up to much hobby?
I've been painting 5 Dreadknights, and they are finally complete. So now I'm at a stage where I'm about 3/4 of the way to a 2,000-point army. And now I've just got to work out what I want to take to Saffron Slam. That's my next event, beginning of May. So I've got 2 weeks to go to work out what I'm going to be, what flavor of GK I'm going to be taking. But it will probably involve 4 or 5 Dreadknights. So obviously data slate pending, because who knows what's going to happen there.
Yeah, well, we all know that it'll come on date redacted, so don't worry about it. It'll be fine. So funny you should say that you're, was it 3/4 of the way through a 2,000-point army? I'm about 1/4 of the way through a 2,000-point army, which is slightly problematic because my event is Saturday.
Ah.
But don't worry about it. We'll come back to that. How are you doing, John?
Not bad. First day back after just over a week off work, so feeling completely relaxed again. Completely not undone the week of just being very relaxed. It's been fine.
Lovely stuff. Have you been doing any hobbying?
Painted some Dark Angels yesterday, because that was a distraction from my real problem. I obviously should have been painting something else. Namely 2,000 points of Empire for an Old World event that's this weekend that I didn't do. But I edge highlighted the heck out of those 2 Dark Angels. They look sick, man. But yeah.
Yeah. So. I knew you weren't gonna be coming when you sent me a message going, I'm just having a think. Well, we all know what that means. You're just setting the groundwork for future disappointment.
Yeah.
No. All right. And Rob, how are you doing?
Yeah, really well.
Please go ahead.
been building mandrakes. So I've got 20 of the new beautiful mandrake sculpts I've built up over the last couple of days.
That's such an upsetting thing to hear.
Oh, it's going to be glorious. It's going to bring 10 mans of mandrakes. It's going to be great. It's going to be horrible, but it's going to be great.
Yeah. So as we'll get into in this episode, I've known Rob for a while, and I've been on the receiving end of his mandrakes in 3 editions now. And I've got to say, probably my least favorite unit in the game. Genuinely might be. You've beaten me so many times with those. Fully just move blocked my army in back in 9th edition.
Yeah, but lots of fun.
Yeah, have you got any of them painted, or are you still just in the building phase?
No, I finished building them today. So they're kind of monopose, so I had to do a bit of chopping and changing to try and get 20 all unique.
Yes, because they don't expect you to run 20 of them.
No, I could still run 10 more. We'll see what happens.
That's just such a genuinely upsetting thing to hear. Got some people in the chat. Piclex says, evening, good evening to you. Existence UK, you are my favourite commenter. Please keep saying silly things in the chat. And also, yes, I'm glad you've spotted the troll country just above my head. I figured that was a fitting place in the Old World map. And good evening to Mega Miniatures as well. Just quickly, I have got, like I say, about 1,500 points worth of Old World to paint for this event this weekend. It gets better. I'm spending all of Thursday with my partner.
It's actually doable.
So just to sort of segue into an announcement, at the start of the week I was like, oh, I've got so much time to paint, and I spent all of yesterday and almost all of today doing some back-end stuff and recording, because we went live with a new channel, the 6++ Old World channel, which is in the link tree. We'll put it in the description of this video as well. I meant to do it beforehand and then forgot because I had a paintbrush in my hands. I don't know if you can sort that, John, because I'm inept. I would love that. Thank you very much. But yeah, we've got the first of the, well, the second, really, Old World Battle Reports is up there. And Ogre Kingdoms versus Warriors of Tzeentch. Master Blaster list, lots of spells. Go and check that one out. Please do subscribe, even if you don't watch Old World, because starting from zero subscribers is fairly sad, and it would be nice to
quite
get that
intimidating
one.
A number, isn't it? And just so you all know, Ed has told me he's going to have 1,000 subscribers in 6 months. So
I did say that, yes.
Ed is a competitive folk, so we might as well make this nice and clear. The original 40K channel, the main one you all know and love, it took us one whole year to get 1,000 subscribers. But obviously, Ed now has the know-how and all of you lovely folk out there to get him to that 1,000 before. So that's the challenge. Ed set himself 6 months, right, guys? So make sure you go and subscribe and for all your Old World stuff, really.
So the problem with that is you've positioned it as they'd be doing me a favor if they subscribe. Yeah, and if I know anything about our viewers, we definitely have a love-hate relationship. Mm-hmm. The first episode of our fortnightly podcast that will be coming out, Close Order, first episode is coming tomorrow. One of the first things I say is that I do hate YouTube viewers. So, you know, off to a real strong start.
It's how you want to lure them in. People hate
them. Absolutely. Treat them mean, keep them keen, I think, is the
life advice.
Yeah. Not anyone I know in real life, just the pixels on the screen. But yes, so that'll be coming up. Plenty in the pipeline there. And I don't know, you can just watch me slowly dissolve mentally over the course of this week as I try to get things painted. That'll be fun for all.
Live stream 2 a.m. on Friday night where you've still got 1,000 points left to paint and you're just crying into your paint pot.
Yeah, I haven't been down to my LGS for a while because there's a new set out for Magic and I've quite enjoyed it. I went to the pre-release. And I was like, oh, hey, I'll definitely be down here on Friday. You know, it'd be good to catch up and, you know, play the new set. I've got the week off. I don't think I'm making it.
Seems unlikely.
No, seems unlikely. Of course, the real reason is they had Josh Strife Hayes of Twitch streaming moderate fame. He's a Twitch streamer. Come down and sat on Sunday and play some cards. So when I heard I wasn't going to be the biggest YouTuber, and by that I mean a small YouTuber, I just, you know, couldn't face the shame anymore.
Is this the same place you went to on Saturday?
I realised as I was talking that I've just fully dropped myself in it. So this is now a good time to announce that I have retired from 40K. So I may have been a little bearish about how I was going to do at a casual event. So it was 1,000 points at the Dice Cup in Nottingham. And I thought, fantastic, this will be great. They asked me to come down a couple of times, just the people I know through Magic. They mentioned it to me, and I was like, oh, I probably shouldn't come down. Said, oh, it'll be good. So I did. I was like, yeah, it's going to be club and sealed. It's going to be so easy. So first, the setup, I get there, and I'm halfway into the first game, and I realize, well, not even, like halfway into setup for the first game, and I realize, oh, there's no secondaries. It's just hold one, hold two, hold more. Which, honestly, because it's sort of like a beginner event and they're just getting people into it. It's 1,000 points. It's on a 42x42-inch board. Yeah, I think it was actually a pretty good setup. I enjoyed that. The terrain was surprisingly good. I could hide all my models turn one. I took Custodes out for a last hurrah.
So a really good faction for that point level.
Especially because I didn't have to think about secondaries. Yeah, I was like, this is in the bag.
One of probably the best armies to play that against 100%. People who don't play the game very often. So you set yourself up.
Yeah, 100%. So lovely chap I played first round. He was running a Lancer and 3 War Dogs. He moved his Lancer forward turn one, but then that meant that I was in range to charge him with Trajan's squad and the Blade Champ squad. So the Lancer went down. And he went, oh, I think I concede here. I was like, well, let's just play out this battle round. And yeah, anyway, he was tabled before turn three, I think it was. Had a nice game, but, you know, his models did go away quite quickly. Round two, I played against a Chaos player. He was a bit more cautious and he scraped some more points playing around the edge of the board. He was surprisingly competent, I thought, for what I was expecting going to the, into the event. And then round three, I should have been paired into the other player who had 5 points less than me, which was an Imperial Knights player, which would have been so free. And then I could have just walked away, you know, with some store credit. But instead I got paired down because there was a duplicate pairing, basically. And I ended up playing into Death Guard. Really lovely guy. Had a good time. But he was playing Triple Plague Burst Crawler. This is 1,000 points. Triple Plague Burst Crawler. The Lord of Virulence. Three of the Death Shroud Terminators with him. And then just like 20 cultists, 20 Poxwalkers and Typhus. So I was like, okay, this is a problem. I've got 4 units. I'm playing hold one, hold two, hold more against Nurgle that have insane amounts of bombardment. Fine, I'll just go balls to the wall. He goes first, kills my Sisters of Silence squad, so I'm down to 3 units. Concerning, but fine. We just have to go very aggressive. I make a turn one charge with my Blade Champion into his Typhus. I spend the CP, try and precision him out. Typhus survives. Typhus swings back. Typhus has 5 attacks, and Typhus killed 3 of my wardens.
Good lad.
And then the Poxwalkers killed the last warden. And then I, you know, that sinking feeling when you're like, oh no, the game is lost.
I don't think I can recover this one.
I'm never going to emotionally recover from this, that's for sure. Anyway, I kept finding the line to try and do something and going for the plays. But like every time I moved, he's like, yeah, I'm just going to overwatch you. Another model dead. it was brutal. It was absolutely brutal. I scraped, I think, you know, a 10-15 point loss, but it was bad. So, yeah, anyway, I've retired from 40k. I'm washed.
So he did announce on the group chat that he would retire from 40k if he didn't win the event.
I haven't played a game since.
So there you go.
Just hosting a 40k podcast. Don't worry about it.
That's how it works, right? Some of the best podcasters don't actually play the game.
As I say, right? Not as I do, right?
So. I think that, yeah, of course. If you want to be good at the podcaster, the YouTube content side of things, you don't have time to do, you know, things like go to events or play games. Why would you? Why would you?
Someone could say you could just play smaller events, like 1,000 points. That would probably see you more.
Yeah. RTTs.
So the important thing there is to win them. Because yeah. Otherwise... It's
the thing for us. It was just the confidence you had. Like, for, you know, any time you go to any event, it's just like, wow, what will be. But it was just the certainty and surety you had in your inevitable victory that we.
So I'm a big believer of if you're confident, you have to say it beforehand. Because yeah. If you don't, if you say it after the fact, you're just bragging. If you say it beforehand, you know, I can respect that.
Okay.
You've just got to back it up. Problem is. Didn't back it up.
Yeah.
I got backed up right out of that shop, and I went home, and then I had a cry.
Yeah, understandable.
Yeah, I'll never emotionally recover from it. But that's not important. What's important is we have more people in the chat. Mr. Fellblade says, didn't know that Dice Cup did 40k. They do. It's once a month. It is a 1,000 point slow grow. They've got the next one up, I think, has a £100 cash prize. So if you want to go and embarrass yourself like I did, you too can go and have it. Was, you know what? I'm just going to shout them out. It was a really well-run event. They had an actual judge that you could just, you know, hand up, shout judge. He was pretty on it with the rules. He knew what he was talking about. The terrain was surprisingly good. I hid my whole army. And it was just a great, well-run event. So props to them. It was a lot better than I expected to be when it was like, oh, it's a casual 1,000 points. I was like, oh, let's see what this is. But good times had by all, apart from me because I lost. Gordon in the chat says, hi, gents. Hello, Gordon, as well. And Mr. Fellblade, it's the taking part that counts. Not for me, but for you, it's the taking part that counts. You can, I can't show my face there ever again. You'll be fine. Lovely stuff. Well, let's talk about the topic for the week, because I've had to bear my shame to the internet. So let's all bear our shame and talk about how, before Warhammer, we were friendless losers. Was that you as well, Chris, or was it just the three of us?
I mean, we're all going to come from different places with this topic, I think.
Yeah, one of us overseas.
But, I think you get a wide variety of people with a wide variety of friendship groups, and experiences, right? So I think most people I meet who play 40K do the classic, or I played it a bit as a teenager, and then I discovered girls and beer, yeah. And then I, you know, settled down, got bored, and then got back into 40K. I think that's a pretty common thing, and I guess different elements of people have different social experiences of the game. I mean, for me personally, I've always done a lot of sports and that sort of thing. So whatever I've done in life, I've always used those as opportunities to kind of make friends. So played cricket all growing up, various other sports. Went to uni, carried on doing sports. Obviously, you have your housemates, etc. And after that, again, it was actually like kind of sports and clubs like that, which was my social group. So that's then obviously manifested itself into me doing 40K through pre-existing friends. And now we've got what we've got, which is 25 people sending hundreds upon hundreds of WhatsApp messages every day. And
have you ever looked at how many messages you get? Because your phone will tell you on WhatsApp what the average is.
Does it actually?
My average is in 400s. So
yeah, I mean, I think there have been times where I haven't been able to check my phone for a few hours, and yeah, it's been like 200-300 unread. I think if you had you're away from a phone for like 2 days, you'd come back to over 1,000 messages, wouldn't you? It'd be,
easily, yeah. I've recently changed my roll up a little bit at work, and I can't look at my phone as much. And I'll open it, and there's like 150 messages, and that's in the hour and a half that I've been at work. I'm like, oh god, someone's put one thing in, and it's just the thread has gone. Yeah. It's great though. I enjoy catching up with it, but I do miss things every now and then. Well, so if you're going to start off with positives, let's go with another positive, John. I know had quite a big impact in your local community with your gaming.
Yeah, so when I got back into the hobby, it was in very much to echo what Chris did, kind of explored that whole kind of almost the archetype. But the problem I had was it was all my schoolmates that I was in the hobby with. We all got back into it, but we're all quite remote. So I then went back to my old club, which, funnily enough, my dad still was going to, and there wasn't really any 40K guys. Then somehow I ended up getting a job in a toy shop. And then I started just pimping out the club at that toy shop, and then made lots of friends. So I kind of made my own community come to me selfishly. So it's kind of interesting, right? Sometimes that you kind of make friends through, like, I had this discussion once when I was chatting to one of the guys who was ex-police, was now a project manager. And we're all sat there around this table. I think it was our Christmas meal for the club. And we listed off all the different jobs that each of us did, and that we probably wouldn't have ever really interacted if it wasn't for the hobby, because we were all from such different walks of life and such very different people with other interests that were so very different that we probably wouldn't have ever met around a table like that. And it was bizarre. It was just because of toy soldiers.
Yeah, no, definitely.
Yeah, obviously we've got a very diverse group. We've got some teachers. I think there's a couple more teachers in 6+.
A lecturer as well.
Yeah. Well, yeah, I'd shorthanded, but yes, no, you're right. There's a lecturer. And then there's a few of us on the fringes who, you know, we try not to talk about our jobs because we'll be shunned. So Rob and I met through 40K back in 8th edition. And I know my story for how we met and what I would say, but I'm interested to hear your perspective on it.
Yeah. So I guess for me, 40K was my thing that I took up when I moved out to the UK 6 years ago to try and build friendship groups. Much like Chris, before I was into 40K, it was all football. I played football 4 times a week. Just my whole social scene was around football, basically. And then moving here, I figured I needed to pick up something that would I would be able to do in the rain was the first thought. And
how dare you?
I know, the weather here is amazing. So yeah, I picked up 40K that way and just started going down to a local Games Workshop shop and playing on a Friday night 1,000-point casual type things.
Did you win?
No, I was absolutely useless and I didn't get better at the game.
Oh, that wasn't aimed at you. which Games Workshop was it that you were playing at?
Just I was in Derby, down Friday, down there.
was going to say, I didn't know that there was one local to us that that did Friday Night Gaming.
They did it then, and it was good just to meet people, and just it forced me to put myself out there, which was really good. I know, it's horrible. It is horrible. And then I guess when I really got into it is when I went to my first tournament, which is when I met Ed. So went up to Warhammer Worlds. As you go, you rock up with your armies at your first event and you feel really nervous. And I think I put all my stuff down and think, Ed, I think you're in front of me in the line to get a coffee. Just said
Something
hi.
Like
and,
that. Yeah.
And that was it. And then since then, we've been friends ever since. That was, what, 4 years ago, something like that?
Oh, more than that.
Four, 5 years ago.
Because it was a couple of years before the pandemic, and we're in 2024, so yeah. Probably wasn't long after you moved to the UK, I would think. Maybe a year or so in.
So yeah, it would be 5 years ago.
Yeah.
So yeah, then most of my friends have been through 40K in the UK.
Yeah. So from my perspective on that, for me, obviously, did, as Chris has described so accurately, played until I was 18, started drinking heavily, stopped playing, moved to Nottingham a year later, which, what a fucking waste. Like, you move to the mecca of Warhammer, and you're like, nah, not for me, mate, not for me. Walked back into a Games Workshop 8 years later. It's just like, oh, you know, I'm just going to see what's going on. Walked out with 150 quid's worth of models, and that was about 5 price hikes ago. So, you know, that was quite a lot of stuff.
Yeah.
And, I think the tournament that we met at was actually my first tournament as well. It was a Throne of Skulls, I remember. We were both playing Dark Angels at the time, because I was playing an Azrael Hellblaster Castle, which was great fun into Eldar, and you were playing a more reasonable balance list, which just, I think, is very reflective of our personalities.
I had a Loyal 32 in there. It was all right.
Oh, yeah, of course. It was an 8th edition tournament. We all had the Loyal 32. Not worth saying. But yeah, so there was you. We also met another guy who's called Dom. Doesn't play anymore. He's big into his airsoft now, but we ended up playing a lot. I have described you guys, maybe not to your face, as one of my collections, because I put together like a tale of, or like a little tale of X Gamers League, where, you know, you get points for painting 500 points in a month, and you had to play a game, and there was a trophy at the end. Do you remember who won the trophy? I think it might have been Dom.
I thought it was you.
I fucking hope not.
I thought you were lining yourself up there.
No. I don't think it was me, because I went to the effort of making an actual trophy, and I think I even got it engraved, which was just, you know, because I had nothing better to do with my spare time. It was before I sat in front of a camera. But
so trying to impress new friends.
Yeah, well, if I do things, I just do them to an unhealthy excess. I think that's really all I've learned.
And that's why you should join the Old World Plus YouTube channel, because there's going to be so much stuff on there, guys.
Yeah, don't let me attach my self-worth to the low number. I'll be jumping out of windows. I live on the top floor.
So,
this is a cry for help.
Behind the green screen is actually a ticker with all the numbers, and it's slowly going up one by one. That's why he keeps looking over his shoulder. He's looking at it going, oh, it's on 23 now, guys. 23.
I might be painting Night Goblins at the same time, because time is a premium, and I don't have any time. This is depressing. So with that stage set, so three of us who were, you know, maybe looking for friends, and one of us who is well socially adjusted and also plays Warhammer, I found that my friend group has grown massively the more I've gone to events. So there's faces that you see, you'll play people, you'll have good games, you'll pick them up, or you'll just get talking to people. And I think that's one of the best aspects of the hobby. Is there anyone that you can think of that you've sort of picked up? I don't need names, but sort of, have you made any sort of real friendships through going to tournaments that you wouldn't have expected to pick up before you started playing, Chris?
Yeah, so I think it's quite an interesting one. So I would say that as a late teen and in my early 20s, certainly would put myself more as an introvert than an extrovert. If I was being like a new, like with my friendship, it's why I'm one of those people who, if I'm with my friends, they wouldn't say I'm particularly quiet person, but when I'm with people I don't really know, I am generally a really quiet person. And that was very much the case in my late teens and early 20s. And when I got into 40K, actually that aspect of, which is quite terrifying, was quite terrifying for me, which was go along to an event and not really know people and make, you know, have to meet and socialize and interact with lots of people, you know, it was highly intimidating. And I think, I mean, for me now, like, I think a few weeks ago, I literally just rocked up to the town's table tennis club because someone had recommended it. And like 10 years ago, there's no way I would have been the sort of person that would do that. And that's far too intimidating for me. And I think a lot of that kind of that self-confidence to just go and try new things and see how it goes has come from 40K, because I still remember, like, reasonably early on, it would have been 8th edition, just rocking up to a two-day event. I knew literally no one there. It was just a local event. And you're just forced into this situation, aren't you? And you're kind of like, I guess I either be really awkward here, or I just try and be positive and try and be nice. And like, it's, I mean, my partner's been to events with me, and she'll sit there and she'll look around and be like, if you didn't know any better, you'd have literally no idea what all these people have in common. Right, you get so many different people from so many different walks of life and personalities and interests and stuff. But we are reunited by this one interest. And I remember going to an event in Essex, and I played this guy Neil, and kind of we just got talking afterwards, and then we ended up going for lunch with a couple of other guys. And you know, by the end of this event, there was kind of like, there were four or five of us who were just chatting quite happily. And then I went to another event a few months later, and he was there. And then he added me to this like London gaming WhatsApp group. And then you get talking, and it's so, so interconnected. So for example, one guy who was part of that London WhatsApp group from like, I don't know, 3-4 years ago, a guy called James, we randomly started talking like one-to-one on WhatsApp as well about stuff, and then didn't talk anymore. And I actually played him in the final round of the ITT, my Eldar versus his Chaos. And we didn't kind of mention it, but then he messaged me on Discord recently. He's actually joined the Discord and to like play some TTS games and that. And it's so interconnected, isn't it? But yeah, I think for me, just like the hobby has given me this kind of like, or going to these events is just, it forces you into these situations, doesn't it? And you either do or die, sink or swim. And it's so weird. Like, you wouldn't go out, I mean, some people do, I guess, but you wouldn't go out to a bar and just be like, hi guys, this piece, like having another guy come and join your group of the night out and hang out. Like, it's generally not a common thing on nights out. Maybe once you're all drunk, you will, but not at the beginning. But here we are, just going to a tournament and be like, hey, please be my friend. So yeah, I think it's got lots of, it just pushes people out of their comfort zone and actually helps to develop them as people. I can't actually remember what your question was. I just rambled.
No, that was great. That was really nice to listen to. Thank you. It's better than answering my question. That was way more interesting.
I'm a politician. I've got a list of things I want to say. And I'm just gonna...
Yeah. No, perfect. That's pretty much how I answer questions as well. So yeah, you're in good company. Either of you two want to go next on people that you've met at events. I don't count. You don't have to big me up just because I'm sat here, Robin.
So I guess obviously yourself and the network we've made through there, because it's gone through you. I hang out with Jack Doddy, who's one of the 6++ers quite a bit. He joined our...
I found him like sort of slumped in my local games workshop, and I was like, "Do you play? Do you want to come play some games?" Haven't been able to get rid of him since.
But it's just those, like you said, Chris, those connections that it just expands. You know, one person, you get talking, you go to an event, you see someone you know, you talk to them, they have a friend there that they're with, and it just keeps growing and growing. I have a bit of a weird one. When I went to the States with World Champs, I've talked to Mikey quite a bit, because Mikey from Hellstorm, just through going to his events and things. And it turned out that I hung out with him for a week, basically, just in America. And through that, I got to meet Phil, the Glacial Geek, while I was there. Yeah. one evening, I just went down to the bar and there was Anthony Vanella and all the big Americans there. And it's just crazy amount of interconnected. You make these really good friends, but then you also make all these acquaintances that if you're on the street, you'd stop, have a chat and see you on your way. And it's just a really crazy community. And it is, I think when I first got into the hobby, the first event you go to, you're like, there's going to be all neckbeards. I'm going to have a horrible time. Like that was the mindset I had going in, and I was picturing myself just not enjoying it because of the people that were there, because of what the internet was saying that events are like.
Because you remember the people who were competitive when you played as a child, because the hobby has definitely moved on in the last 20 years.
Yeah, I was amazed at the amount of just, it's probably the wrong thing to say, but just like normal people. Like it's a
surprise, right? I know in my head it was like, well, I know I'm normal, but these people aren't going to be normal because they play Warhammer. Yeah. So then you go to this thing, and you're like, you're expecting, you have this preconception, don't you, of what's going to be out there? And then you kind of just, I know my first events, I was like, oh, these are all perfectly normal human beings. And yeah, it's almost a surprise.
Yeah.
Thank you, Super Strudel, for correcting yourself. Called me a neckbeard, so I had to prove that wasn't the case, just in case anyone watching wondered what on earth I was doing. But just going back to Mikey, he's such a lovely guy. I played him the first LGT I went to, and he offered to drive me home because I was down with you and Jack, and you were both staying an extra day. So I was going to get the train, which would have been unpleasant to do that late on a Sunday in London. Didn't want to have to do that. So he offered me a lift. Super lovely. But yeah, we just went to the Costa Cafe across the road. He's like, yeah, there's just a few content creators that I want to talk to. So I was just sat there surrounded by various people who sit behind the screen long before I sat behind the screen, which was a really interesting experience. And then sat with him in a car in traffic for about 6 hours on the way home. So good company. Would recommend if you bump into Mikey and have an excuse to spend social time with him, you'll enjoy doing it. You haven't spoken. It's your turn, John. Do you remember what we were talking about?
What was the question? I'm enjoying listening to you kind of telling these stories. I feel like I'm actually the viewer. I'm just sat here to go, well, that's really nice.
People that you've met at events, really. And you've got a bit more scope with this, I think, because obviously all the international stuff that you do, you see a wider range of people.
Because my kind of journey to events was slightly different. I went knowing people at the event, but my local guys, literally, my original like hobby circle really didn't care for the idea of competitive gaming. And I'd been watching a lot of The Honest Wargamer, Warhammer Live, seeing all this stuff where it's showing that you could play competitively and it still was good fun. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to go along to one of these. So I booked myself to Warhammer World to one of the really early 8th edition events. I want to say it was like February time. So there was, I think it was only like 2 books out. Took my little Index Orcs list down, went 3-1-1 in the end. That's what it was. And I was like, really solid. I had Snikrot in my list. Some of the stuff in it, people looked at it and went, why? And I was like, it's what I own.
I like it.
And like, there's people that I met at that event that I still talk to now. Like, and that's like 6-7 years ago. And then from that, it kind of spiraled where I then went, right, I've got the itch for this. So then as my local sort of scene grew, I met this guy called Tom who'd moved locally to the area. I was like, well, I'll come to your club. Next, you know, me and him are driving up to Hellstorm events, going to them sort of 3 times a year. And it was great fun. And it just then expanded from that. And then I got the itch where I was told there's this whole international Warhammer thing as well. And it's like Rob said about kind of you meet these people and make those connections. Way before I went to WTC, because I was doing a lot of the international stuff, you'd see someone and like someone like Nassim, you look at him and think, oh, he's probably going to be quite serious and maybe a bit kind of like focused in his games. I walk past his table and he just literally just starts shouting my name at me. And it's lovely because it's that kind of like, you get the situation where it doesn't matter who they are, where you are, like you catch up as if no time has gone by, which is lovely. And it's just really nice that you just kind of like, it's just friendly, I think is the way to put it.
I just need to say, we suddenly just made the connection here, and it's something I always knew, but I never really spoken about. My first ever Warhammer event.
Yeah.
My first ever Warhammer event opponent. was in fact Scrivo.
No way. You beat me, didn't you?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
that was a very open table. And you had, was it Custodes?
Yeah. So,
that was awful.
Lee and I had just started playing. And, you know, we're talking about like, you get people, different people from different walks of life. I have always played sport and I've always played it really competitively. And anything I get into, I want to play competitively. It doesn't matter what I do. Like, I mean, as I said, I recently started doing table tennis and I'm 4 weeks in. I'm already like, is there some sort of league I could join? Like, I just can't help myself. I just want to play. Whatever I do, I want to play it competitively. And Lee and Ben had been playing like just as friends for a while. And I was like, so tournaments, is this a thing? Could we maybe go to a tournament? And that was when Twisted Dice did stuff. And so I went along to that Twisted Dice tournament. And yes, Scrivo, you were playing like a load of orc boys. And I was running 15.
90 orc boys.
Yeah, you were running that, and I was running a load of custody bikes with all the hurricane bolters. And so I just got to sit there basically and just mow the orc boys down.
It was awful.
And it was a fun time. But yeah, I just
suddenly
like,
missed you at the
same
time.
that was my genuine first ever kind of like event, and you were my first ever opponent. And you know, like, we never really made that connection. That's how were we to know? That was like 5-6 years ago, right? How were we to know that now we'd be sat here doing a podcast with thousands of subscribers. That's crazy. Small world, yeah. Right? Small world.
Started from the bottom, now we have a moderately small YouTube.
Oh, yeah, baby.
Yes!
Nailed it.
I got two things. First of all, Super Strudel. Is that Nathan?
Yeah, I love this. Just, and for those like listening to the podcast, we have no idea what we're talking about. But basically, in the chat right now is Super Strudel, who's just giving Edge shit on the in the chat, and
I love it.
Edge's like faces, he's like reading it and trying to understand things, but he doesn't know who Super Strudel is.
Not a clue.
So he's trying to work it out whilst also painting. It's Nathan.
It is Nathan. Ah, there we go. You should know better. You've met me in person. You know I haven't got a neck beard. You are taller than me, actually. You can't see under my chin. Fair play. Also, my story for meeting someone, and he's in the chat. I was going to say nice things about you, but now you're here, I can't do it. I adopted a chap called Craig, who I was talking to at a Hellstorm event. And we were talking outside, just, you know, I'd gone to it because it was Nottingham. I don't think I really knew anyone there, not particularly closely. So I was just chatting to anyone. And we were talking, and he seemed like he knew what he was talking about. And then he got to the end of the event and won the wooden spoon. I was like, well, this isn't right. So, you know, he's been my pet project. I've adopted him. Fully saying that just to wind him up as opposed to anything else. But he has come on leaps and bounds. He got his first 3-2 in the last 6 months. It was I think it was a Hellstorm event? No, it was at Sanctuary.
Yeah, it was a Hellstorm event. He played Tom, didn't he?
Well, he got a 3-2 this time, but he had one previously as well. Right. So, yeah, no, he's come on leaps and bounds. But, yeah, he's moved to Nottingham for me. Used to live in Cambridge. Definitely was for my benefit, and not because that was just where he's going to move anyway. Mm. And now we play Magic weekly. So, yeah.
I had a good chat with Craig as well. I went down the Hellstorm event and said hi. It's just crazy. You just know people.
It is. You run into everyone. Lovely stuff. All right. So that's, sorry, the chat's just
Edge fan
posting and reading.
Yeah, just talking to people I know in real life is throwing me off.
I've got a question for you. So when you're at an event and you go to the table and you have never met this person before, there is a potential there that person's going to become a great friend of yours. Or maybe it'll be a person you don't get to again, and things are a bit meh, like whatever, but you don't know that until you've properly engaged them. So what things do you do when you're at the tabletop to try and create like a good first impression and make that game as positive an experience as possible, so that there is a potential there for you to become like a friend with them? Start with you, Rob.
Yeah, I think you just need to be friendly. I think when I was really nervous going to the first event, I kind of, yeah, I'm a very introverted person, and I kind of like was like, what am I going to talk to people about? This is really awkward. So
a bit like a date, isn't it?
It's a bit like a blind date. You rock up, it's a blind date completely. I think what I told myself before the event was, I'm going to look at everyone's army, I'm going to pick something I like, and I'm going to compliment a aspect of their armor.
Like their just
to start conversation. So that was the first thing.
What a nice thing to do.
And then you start negging them, right? Like
yeah, you got to pick them up to bring them back.
That'd be nice when you finish them. Yeah.
I really liked how you just haven't perfectly edge highlighted it.
Beautiful three colors.
Slight wonky. Yeah.
Yeah, so I did that. And I also decided that I was going to ask everyone to. So it was at Warhammer World, so you have food included. So I was like, okay, for every morning game, I'm going to try and sit with the person I play with, or every game after that, I'm going to try and have ask them if I can buy them a beer, just to try and set the scene that this is more of a social thing. And I didn't care about results back then, you know, at all. But it's just the social side, isn't it? And if you are nervous, giving yourself a bit of a script so you don't just stand there and just bottle it and just not say anything, which I completely could have seen myself doing.
Definitely. Screw it.
Well, for me, a lot of the time, I kind of just try to sort of set the tone, like how I'd like to play the game with the opponent as well. So that often gives me an indication of how they're going to be. Because if I say to them, I'll play it straight by the book. If you forget something, it's fine. As long as we're both consistent with it, type of thing. And that framework of kind of like how I'd like to play, that often sets the tone. And quite often it'll be a thing like as well, I'll say, I've got a dice, would you like to swap dice? Just because it's nice as a kind of a way of kind of setting the tone that it's just like, I just want to make memories as well. Because a lot of the time I'll be looking at my little dice tray and there's one bit that's just absolute gibberish of different dice. And I look at it and go, oh, that's from that game. And it's those memories you get just from this one little plastic thing. And you think, that's actually quite cool. Often some of my least favorite games, their dice get rotated out of the tray though. So when it doesn't work, you're punished for it. So
that's funny. I always feel guilty for not offering to swap dice, but anyone who's played against me knows I will just lose dice. I throw them everywhere. I always say Warhammer's a bad hobby for me because I'm a clumsy man. I run out of dice at the same rate as a normal human being, but I'm not giving them to other people. I'm giving them to the floor, which is upsetting because I actually, when you're putting the next dice order in, Chris, I need some more.
That's good to know.
Yeah, just, you know, I can cope. I've got some square based ones, so looking forward to using those. Yeah, gonna be using those over the
week. Very nice.
Yeah, but I do actually seriously need more dice if you could put an order.
I have some actually. I did buy a massive bulk previously. Is there anything else you do, Ed, when you first?
I'm just aggressively enthusiastic, and it's not.
It's intimidating.
That's good to hear. It's not even deliberate. It's not like I'm going in and cynically trying to be like, I hope this person's my friend. Even when I don't massively enjoy the game, I really like going to tournaments and I like playing random people. It's a great time. Like, I hate labels, but would assign myself as an introvert. So I need downtime to relax. And that's why some of you here might have seen me get a little bit mardy when we got completely ignored in a restaurant for 30 minutes. I was like, I'm going to go get some fucking food because I was at the end of my tether after being very
angry boy.
Social, being on. I've worked customer-facing roles for the past 10 years. So, you know, you kind of just sort of switch it on and then you're in the mindset.
Yeah.
But you do need to switch off at the end of the day. But yeah, no, I'm aggressively enthusiastic, I would say. I just have a good time with it. And, you know, it sometimes ends with people swearing at me, but in a good, fun way.
I think for me, I've definitely am exactly the same as kind of like you, Ed. I go out on my way. Because it's all about, for me anyway, it's first impressions. You learn a lot from someone in literally that opening 2 minutes. I would say like probably within 1 or 2 minutes, you know what sort of game you're going to get. Is this someone you're going to get on well with? Like, I've had people who just kind of like are really, really quiet. I've had people who are clearly like quite awkward. I've had other people who you just immediately click with. I mean, I'd like to shout out Jord from Vanguard Tactics. Like, played him in round 4 of the LGT. You know, like, we're both undefeated. It's a potentially stressful situation at like the biggest tournament of the year, and like we had such an amazing time. And that literally happened within like 30 seconds. Like, you got that vibe. You knew we were gonna get on really, really well. And my general thing is, I know we've got on well if I'm swearing at them by the end. You know, like, calling them a dickhead by round two, you know, it's gone well. Like, that's my general vibe. But obviously, like, sometimes you click and you hit off, but sometimes it doesn't go according to plan. So I guess if we're thinking about making friends, maybe we've had a game where it's not going quite well. So how do you manage a situation, Rob, where you're like, this guy's a bit of a dickhead, I want this game to be over and done with, but at the same time, I'm here for a good time, I still feel like we should try and have a good time. Like, how do you manage it?
Yeah, I think you just need to just focus that you are there for a good time, like you say, and just... You can go through the motions, you can try and get people on board, but I've been very lucky, to be honest. I think the whole time I've been playing 40K events, I think I've had two awkward games. So I've been extremely lucky, but I think a lot of people don't have a lot more than that either. But
it's got that reputation. You hear it all the time. I remember when I first started getting into 40K and people would say, oh, you know, competitive 40K isn't as bad as you think it is. It's like, it's actually everyone's friend. And you're like, is it? And then you go and you're like, oh, no, they are right. So if you are listening to this podcast and you are one of these people who doesn't really do tournaments because you think that, like, genuinely, as Rob says, I mean, I can...
Well, disclaimer, when you're getting into the hobby, is, you know where it's not? The fucking top tables. The longer I've played, the more people I've got to watch. So I'm saying... on my one-man crusade to make everyone hate me, just top players.
There's a difference between having to watch people and having a good time, though.
Well,
yeah, you can have
there
a good
is,
time watching, watching.
But there are some people I wouldn't have a good time with. And I'm going to say, disclaimer, it's not David Gaylard, just because he's the only one that I've talked about playing recently, and I don't want it to sound like he was.
Ed loves you, David Gaylard.
I really do. He's such
a name drops you literally before
my friend David. Name drops. All right, we get it.
All right, Gaylard, so he loves you. You don't need to worry about that.
Oh, he's just so friendly. And he's aggressively enthusiastic. He said, let's get it about 25 to get times before we got to round one, which is such a great phrase to use. But yeah, I don't typically have that many. I had one. I can only really think of one really bad game that I had to manage where it wasn't like cheating or anything like that. It was just the other person's attitude. And it was a... It was a Goonhammer event back in 8th edition, 9th edition, sorry. I was playing Squig Buggies, but I wasn't playing the spam to the level of like the Manny list. I was running 6 of those and 6 of the Rocket Buggies, so it was still oppressive, but it was a more toned-down mission playlist. It was, let's be real, a worse version of the list, and I lost more games because of it. But I had a good time with it. Anyway, this bloke rocks up to the table, looks at my list, and goes, I'm not playing that! So... Great start. Sound, mate. Talk to me like a human being instead of, you know, talking to yourself. He strops off, goes and talks to some genuinely, like, there was a flounce in there. He goes and, you know, complains to some Goonhammer member of staff. They obviously say, no, we're not repairing you. I didn't follow him because I was just stood there like,
the fuck?
Is it? Is this actually happening? I'm really confused. This is the last game of an event as well. So, like, I'm a bit tired. I'm just ready to, you know, have a nice one to round it out and just go home. Whatever happens, I don't care. I just want to, you know, wrap up and go home. So I was kind of hoping that he'd fully throw in the towel and just be like, I'm not playing. Anyway, he comes back and wordlessly starts getting his models out. So, I give him a few minutes to acclimatize. You know what? Maybe he's just had, you know, a matchup into Orcs and he's just
been able to play them.
Maybe he's just been having a bad day. He's lost all his games so far and he's seen a match that he knows is very difficult for him. He continues to be an obed. So about 10, 15 minutes in, I was like, look, you're being really unpleasant to play against. Are you going to sort it out or are we just going to, you know, have a shit time? And at that point, he sorted himself out, which is... sometimes when you play against people in the wargaming community, they don't have great social skills. Okay. So if you tell them they're being a knobhead, they go, oh,
didn't realize.
I can't argue.
Yeah.
It's not even like I didn't realize. It's just like, I don't have the skills to argue back. Also, I am in the wrong.
Yeah.
And he just sorted himself out, but he was a right dick. And I've never seen him again.
I think that is an interesting point, to be fair. Like, it wasn't the case in this scenario, but you definitely do people who come in like with a preconception. Like, having played Elder for a long time, lots of people rock up to the table and are like, oh, for fuck's sake, I know I can't win that game. This game is just points on air. It's exactly how this goes. And you're like, and I've complained about this on the podcast before, so I won't go into that. But also you don't know what their past experiences are like. And so Ed would have done exactly the right thing in that situation, is you have to bypass that first impression and go, oh, actually, maybe they've just had a really bad game. Maybe they're a really competitive person and they've just lost by 1 point and they need some time just to decompress and kind of move on from that. And so for me, it's, oh, maybe I didn't get that good first impression. I will keep chipping away. I'll keep trying to get to that holy grail of calling them a dickhead. Maybe it'll be turn three rather than turn two, but I want to try and get there because, and you know, that's when I find myself going like a full on charm offensive. I do that in my power to like be as, you know, smooth and as I can, just to try and win them over.
Basically. For anyone who hasn't met Chris, it's not very smooth.
It doesn't work. It's awkward as fuck. It's never worked. It's so sad. Scribo, is there anything you do?
Well, sorry, just jump in there before. I have got one, and I'm so sorry. I can't remember which of the Whittaker twins or brothers it is, because I do get them combined in my head, and I'm so, so sorry. But I played one of them at Newcastle a couple of years ago, and they're quite quiet. But like you say, it's not even necessarily deliberate, but you make it your mission to make it so like we're gonna have a good time,
and I make
by the end it was great. We were both having fun, I think. I hope that was the impression that I got. I can't read minds, but sometimes it's just people have a bit more of a social barrier to entry, and if you can get past that, great. Sorry, go ahead, John.
So I was actually thinking of what Chris had just said, and kind of the flip side of that, where when I've had a really bad game and it's been out of my control. So a good example is the first time that Rob and I played. It was round five, an event. The terrain was less than optimum. There was essentially no space for a squig buggy or any kind of buggy to physically move out of my deployment zone. Oof. Called the TO over and he goes, just play on it. I'm playing against a guy with an army that fully flies and can just ignore it. So despite that, I was not in the best of spirits when we started that game. And by the end of it, I still only have very fond memories of playing with Rob, because despite it being shite and the TOs being less than interactive about it, we made best of it. And Rob went out of his way to make that a very pleasant game when he could have quite easily just shot me to shit in my deployment zone and called it a day. And I think that's kind of nice as well. Like, when you can see someone's obviously in pain with how the game's going, be empathetic as well can really help, because then what could have ended up being a very shy end of a tournament for me, where I just went, I'm not going to a tournament ever again, I came out of it going, that was pretty cool. And then the next time I saw Rob at a Hellstorm event, I was like, how's it going? And it was really nice that we reconnected. And if he'd not been like that, probably would have just not talked to him. So
it's all about that first conversation, isn't it? I think one of you guys said earlier, it's just setting the tone. And I think we talked about it, you when you got to, you came back, I'm like, I can't fit anything. Well, let's move things out a little bit. Let's actually make this interesting.
It didn't help.
Yeah, I might have had like, I may have been running peak Drukhari with like 30 units knocking you everywhere.
Yeah, but, early ninth, it was great.
I've almost been guilty of a similar at LG2 a couple of years ago. I was playing Leviathan Nids, and my opponent flamed my army turn one with Flamers as Inch. But I worked out the numbers. It was like such a mathematical unlikelihood that I felt very hard done by. Opponent was great. He was a good player as well, so I might have lost. But I'd gone into that off the back of winning loads of games. I won loads of games with that list afterwards. I went to four events with LGT in the middle, and I won three of the four. So I was feeling pretty hard done by the fact that I'd, you know, been in my head cheated of a win. Not cheated, but like the odds were so unlikely that, yeah, I was, yeah, good word. Yeah, I was robbed of a victory where it should have been mine, and I should have gone a day three anyway. All of that aside, I then went into my next game, and I probably wasn't the most, I still was probably fine, but I bumped into my opponent who I'd played round three, and I didn't remember him, which is really bad, and it shows that I was in a foul mood. And he was like, oh yeah, no, you were really unhappy when we played. I was like, what? What do you mean? He's like, yeah, the game before. I was like, oh God, I'm so sorry. Anyway, long story short, we ended up, you know, hanging out at that event. We went out for food and he bought me dinner. So I'm not really sure if there's a moral to that.
Is he supposed to buy you dinner first before he does you?
Yeah. Really lovely guy. Shout out to Rob Willers. Hope to see you again. Aww. Not just because you bought me food and I'm expecting it again. I would like to repay the favour if you see this.
I've got one more final question for you guys. So we're talking about how we can manage the social side, and you know, we know the game affects us, and so we want to try and be as positive as we can. So let's say we're into the game now, and you're having a great time with the person, and you are smashing them, like you're absolutely destroying them. Okay, how do you manage that? So when you are in a really comfortable, confident position, your opponent's starting to have a bit of a bad time. What are your techniques for how to try and make them feel better? And then conversely, what do you do when you're, I mean, obviously this never happens to you, but when you are getting tabled and it's going really badly and that sort of thing, like, have you got any techniques for managing that? Because let's say you're in, and we're talking about making friends whilst tabling people, right? That's literally the title. So how do you manage, have you got any things that you do to manage either tabling or being tabled? Because let's say you really do like your opponent and you would like to still have a good first impression. Like, what do you guys do?
I think trying to celebrate when things happen is a really good way of doing it. I was on a stream at Hellstorm, one event. I was 3-0, playing 4-1. I was playing Mike Duff. The Duff brothers are lovely.
Yeah, yeah.
He was
spicy.
He was playing Peak Guard, and I was playing not Peak Drakari, and I basically had to run at him to get anything out of the game. And I threw my entire army at him, turn 3, charged him, started killing things. I blew up a couple of Lehman Russes, which tried a chain reaction. I took 25 mortal wounds in my combat phase before he did anything. And it just, the game's done then. And all you can do is laugh. And you just got to look at the funny side of it. You know, I wouldn't have remembered that game if this thing didn't happen. It's just part of it.
And it's taking that step back, isn't it? And I think you do hear people talk about that. It's that you're not, the feeling of defeat and oh, this is so unfair, that doesn't last a long period of time. No. The memory,
I'm still salty about that. Yeah, unless, speak for yourself.
But it's the memory of the actual, like, you remember the thing that happened, don't you?
Yeah.
And as would your opponent, but the actual emotion's not necessarily tied to it.
Yeah.
And I think that's definitely true. Scrivo.
I like celebrating when things go well for my opponent.
Yeah.
Or equally, when it doesn't go well for me, like if one of my vehicles, I go, I just don't need it to blow up, and then I roll a 6, I want us both sitting there cheering because that's funny. Like, when things go really wrong, like I had it at one event where a guy, his repulsor executioner blew up and took half his army with it. And what I loved is the guy was just shell-shocked. He forgot that at that point you could re-roll and explode. So it was even funny that his mate came back over later after we'd had a really fun game and he'd kind of like gone back out and went, you could have re-rolled it, mate. And it was literally, what? But like, it's those situations where you're just anything but a 1. You roll the 1, you're like, oh, great, brilliant. And just like making a joke of your own like misfortune as well, because I find that disarms people when you go, you're highlighting almost that you're not rolling just hot. Because there's nothing worse than your opponent sitting there rolling all their dice and going, oh, that's 12 million explodes, giggle, giggle, giggle. Because that's just rubbing it in people's faces, right?
Like, yeah.
No one needs that.
It's a hard one to balance, isn't it? Because I know that if I'm losing, and especially if my dice rolls are bad and my opponents, oh, you're being really unlucky here. I like, there is that element of, good, I'm glad you realise that you're getting lucky right now. Like, you should understand that this is not skill, this is pure luck. But at the same time, it's also not, I feel like when, it's an easy go-to, isn't it? Like, I've played against people and they're being all, wah, wah, all my dice aren't right, right. In my head, I'm like, dice have been pretty average, mate. But actually, I'm like, yeah, no, that. So you are kind of playing that, like, that affirmation game, aren't you? The dice are quite an easy win. So if you just tell your opponent, oh, yeah, you had some bad dice. And if they're not remotely a reflective person, then they might well be like, yes, you're right. I mean, I've definitely had it where I'm like, oh, man, this game's not gone well. And my opponent's like, yeah, well, your dice have been bad. And in my head, I'm like, no, actually, they haven't. They've been like pretty average. obviously to their face, I'm like, yes, you are absolutely right.
I've
been so unlucky. Yeah.
I think that highlights that there is often very much two styles of gamers. Like, I used to have a real shit relationship with dice because I'm quite an emotional gamer. So I would read it and I wouldn't be sitting there analyzing the data. But like, Chris, I know you're quite analytical with your dice, where you'll look at it and go, well, that's about average.
Yeah.
You'll just glance and get that. For a long time, I had to stop and make myself do that, because otherwise you look at it and you do just go, well, that does look shite. But then the roll before, you rolled all sixes. Like, it swings.
It does, yeah. And it's really easy to, the amount of times I've been like, you know, like, every time something bad happens, it feels like a critical moment.
Yeah.
Like, especially like turns one and two, I really needed this thing to die, or I really needed to make that charge.
More resources.
Do you know what? The amount of times it actually wasn't, by the time you've got to turn four or five, either they've had a bit of bad luck and it's fine. I remember a game where I was playing my Necron, this is like 8th edition, I was playing my Necrons with the Doom Scythes and all the stuff into Tau. And I got first turn into Tau, and that game first turn was like really important. And I went there and my opponent had played into Necron Swords before. He was like, oh, I know exactly how this goes. Blah, 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 blah. So I flew over and I completely whiffed. I like bent. And suddenly he was like, oh. And then so I then go from feeling to, oh, fuck this kind of thing. And he's then like, yes, yes, yes. And he feels really good about himself. And then he completely fucks his shooting phase as well. And then we've had this huge roller coaster of like emotions, we've gone from me happy, him sad, to reverse again. And you know what? It evened itself out when we had a nice enough game. And then it's really easy to, I guess, get carried away, isn't it, early on, especially with dice rolls. They're the one thing we cannot control, and they're the thing we almost get the most annoyed about.
Yeah.
I think there's a lot that you can sort of talk about there. Firstly, the obvious answer is just to reach, you know, Buddha-like Zen, and then you roll dice and you're like, oh, this is fine. You know, it's just, what will be.
It's a five.
It's a five. And meaningless. And now all you just have to do is treat them all like that, which is obviously incredibly easy to replicate behavior and very useful advice. So you're welcome to that.
Thanks.
But I can count on one hand the number of games that dice have lost me a game. And I think that's probably just that I haven't analyzed that game correctly. If you think about how many mistakes you make over the course of the game, small ones, big ones, why did you need that roll to happen? You can have not pulled a game back from a losing position, potentially, that I've put myself in a position where I've managed to find like a 10% chance. If everything lines up, I win the game. I love that. But when you lose that, you don't feel hard done by, because you understand that you're going for the sort of like, this is an outside shot, but God, if it pulls off, I'm a absolute genius. But I think most of the time, when you think you've lost because of the dice, you've lost because you've put yourself in a position where you needed the dice to pull you out of.
Correct.
Something else you can do, if your brain is dice bad, oh no, you can play armies that have higher reliability, whether that's rolling lots of attacks like orcs, or having inbuilt rerolls, sustained hits, anything that you can do to make your combat maths more reliable, more consistent, is going to make you feel better at the table, because you know roughly what you're going to get out of it, and you don't have to, you know, pray that this time the orc shooting that's exploding on five spikes up and turns out I deleted your entire army in one turn, but next game I'm not going to. That's the that would be my advice. Play consistent.
I feel seen
armies
right now. But that's why I'm playing Blood Angels, because I get to reroll all my hits.
Yeah,
it's a very different game.
Absolutely. Custodes, hitting on two, sustained hits and sixes, feels fantastic. You roll, you know, 20 attacks and you look down, you go, miss with three, explode with three. Cool, I got 20 hits. Great feeling. Would recommend.
One thing I really failed to do, and one thing I would love to be able to do more of, is, to be honest, just completely ignore the dice. I think that's one
you
thing.
You do play that, Eldar.
And what I mean is, when you roll, whether you roll a good or a bad roll, what I would like to be is completely ambivalent about the roll. And one person who's really good at that is Tom. I remember one of my first games into Tom, like, I think we're playing like a bigger game or something like that. And he would be like, okay, and that's one save. And I was like, what? Only one save? And he was like, yeah, just just roll badly. And but there was like you would have had no idea from like how he was thinking as he rolls, or as from how he's talking as he's rolling his dice and that sort of thing. And I think that is certainly something that I would, and I try to, and I can do it sometimes, and other times I can't. Like as Scrivo says, I'm very much like I'm always paying attention, I'm always thinking about. I like to think that when I'm rolling my dice, I know what should be happening. So when don't, yeah. Then that's it. You're putting your statistical knowledge onto something which you have no control over, and you know can just go in a whole number of ways because that's just what variance is like. And I think if you, it's a nicer all round for everyone. Like we think about those games which you don't really enjoy, they're against the opponents who do complain about the dice a lot. And I don't think you've ever had a nice fun game of 40k despite the fact that your opponent has moaned about the dice in a pretty consistent manner. It is one of the things that lots of us do, or a lot of people do, and it's one of the things that we are probably fully in control of the most in terms of creating a positive play experience for our opponent, maybe. Okay. I do have actually one nice final question to round everything off, because I'm just trying to do my teacher head of get us to this topic, which is you finished your game. How do you go about maintaining that friendship? What sort of things do you do? Because do you go, here's my number, okay? Or are you, or how do you go about, you know, you've met someone you really enjoy playing. What do you guys do next in order to keep that friendship or that sort of thing?
I ask people if they want to go get a drink, usually. Especially, like, you know, when you're talking through the game, you get a sense of, you ask them, are they here with mates? Are you here by yourself? And as soon as you hear that they're by themselves, you're like, you're coming with us. If I've got friends here, hang out with us for the rest of the day. So I think it's just a good... Food and drink is a great icebreaker. Yeah. I think that's all it is for me.
Good early on as well, isn't it? Like, I mean, I know someone like Dave Murdoch from our team who wins lots of best sport awards. He is very much, do you want to get a drink? Like before, during, after, in case he's got a problem, really. But yeah. It turns out a lot of 40k players also have the same problem. So that's a really good thing.
For me, I'm just, you know, don't bother. No, that's not true. It's typically the second time I talk to someone. So I'll have a good game with someone, then I'll see them at an event, and I'll go in to catch them. I try and... If there's someone I know at an event that I have seen, I will try and have at least a 2-minute chat with them, even if it's just a good to see you, mate. Oh, you're busy. I'll jog on and maybe catch you at the next one or tomorrow, whatever. Or sometimes Ben Jones, this still haunts me. I walked past him. He said hi. I didn't notice. Someone said, oh, that guy was waving at you. And that haunted me because didn't find him for the entirety of Saturday. This was Saturday morning. I found him on Sunday to apologize. I'm like, I'm so sorry. He's like, yeah, no, it's fine. I didn't even realize. But I'll talk to someone a couple of times. And once I've talked to them a few times, that's where I might, you know, shoot them a message, whether it's like, oh, hey, you want to play a game on TTS or whatever. Kenneth Ward. I don't think I've ever played him. I think my brother played him once, and I have him on Facebook for some reason. Lovely guy from Vanguard Tactics. When the last Tower Codex, I was starting to play, I knew he played, and I shot him some messages. And it was funny because in my head I was like, oh yeah, no, Kenneth, you know, we're mates. And he said something along the lines of, why are you messaging me for opinions on the Tower Codex? You could have just messaged Kyle. I was like, oh, but I've talked to you. You're nice. I like you. I like talking to you. But it was just, you just sort of pick up friendships along the way, I guess. Mm. I don't really know where I'm going with that. Hey, this has been a nice episode just to name drop people who are really friendly. It's a good one for that. Crumbleholm, always a good time when you see Mark at an event. Yeah. He'll give you a hug. Well, he'll give me a hug. He might not give you a hug. Don't go up to Mark if you don't know him.
Oh, you're the hugger.
You might get one, but it's weird. People have boundaries.
Even if you know him, it's weird, man.
No, well, you don't even ask him. He just gives you a hug. Yes. He's a lovely, cuddly man.
Scrivo?
So it's a weird thing. In the last, like, 5 or 6 events, I've been kind of keeping an eye on where my opponents have been, my previous ones. And then if I see them in passing, I'm just like, how did that round go? And I like to kind of keep track of what we're all up to. Because I found that once... if there's a slight connection of like this guy seems kind of cool, I'm kind of like their cheerleader for the rest of the event. And it's just nice because then you kind of like at lunch, you see them go, oh, I've lost by 3 points. I'm like, yeah, me too. I lost by lots more. it's just nice to just have those kind of like chats. And you're like, yeah, it's cool.
Especially
like,
your first round opponent.
I think it was round three at Home Nations. I played Brandon Gould, one of the Gould twins. And first thing he did was like, bought me a beer. And I'm like, oh, okay. Then after the round, I sat there with him and his brother, ended up getting on the same plane back as them, just chatting. And it was really nice that, like, end up making these little friendships just by kind of keeping dibs on each other throughout the rest of the event. And it was really nice because it was like, we're all just here wanting to have a laugh, have a chat, and just be sociable. And it was generally nice. And it's these kind of accidental friendships almost you get sometimes, isn't it? Which is nice.
I think that would definitely been what I'd have said, is the like the checking in kind of thing. Like we're at school at the moment with the children, we're doing a lot of treat others how you would like to be treated. And I know I really like it when someone says, "Oh, how are you getting on?" And like blah blah blah. So I think keeping that going with people, like if you keep, you know, as Ed says, that first round opponent especially, but second, third round, and then you're like the next day, you're like, oh, how are you getting on, blah, blah. And then, you know, you see in the next event and it just starts to create that thing. And before you know it, they've joined your team.
I was going to say, so that's how I ended up playing. So I met Tom at the Invitational a couple of years ago. We'd both taken very bad lists, him deliberately. I was just in my head and I was like, this is the next thing.
Oh, crap, the meta.
I genuinely thought I had, it was Shadow Keepers into what I thought was going to be a melee meta, and I got shot and psychicked off the board, but I've told that before. Anyway, so I played against Tom and we had a good time. He smashed me, but we had a good time. And then I was sort of thinking about joining another team, and we played at Leicester and we had one of those games you were describing where fairly early in we're swearing at each other. You know, just if you wrote down the transcript of what was said, you'd be like,
ooh,
one or both of these players should be ejected from the event. Yeah. This is such an uncomfortable atmosphere. No, it was great. Having a great time. Really enjoyed it. And I was like, you know what? Yeah. So I said to him, you know, if you're in the market for another boy, and now I'm here and you can't get rid of me.
The rest is history.
Well, I have retired, but
You are a retired 40k player.
Yeah,
for the best.
But yeah, those are my questions I had. Sorry, if I jumped there.
No, that was great. I did have a couple of things, but you've mostly rolled it in. So, great job. Thanks for making my life easier.
You're painting, right? So
I am furiously multitasking. So. If we've got any questions, do whack them in the chat. There's only one in Discord, so before we wrap up.
We do the Ploose Roundup.
Oh, yes, of course.
We're so good at that. So how can we miss that?
Some would say we are the best.
I felt really pained when we skipped it, because I was like, is someone going to say something? I don't think so.
No, we're just see if Ed realises.
we're all far too British. You can interrupt me. That's fine. We'll work a little bit against you.
First of all, I don't think... You, the listener, have clicked like on this video yet. So go and do that right now. I'm calling you out. You haven't clicked like. Can you please go click like? And some of you listening right now might not even be subscribed. Make sure you press subscribe. Okay. Now that boils us out of the way. We have been doing some videos. In fact, we've been doing a lot of videos. You may have recently realized that there's just so much 6++ content. If you have hit the bell, which you should have done also for notifications on getting our stuff out, you would have seen there's been a huge array of stuff. And there's even more stuff like on the way. Like genuinely, we're starting to struggle to schedule stuff. That's one of the reasons why the old world stuff is going to look a lot better on an individual channel, because we don't want it to get lost. So really just keep an eye out on almost a daily basis. We don't do weekends. You may have noticed we don't do weekends simply because people don't watch stuff at weekends. If you look at our data quite a lot, people don't really watch new content when it comes out at the weekend, which is why our content kind of comes out at 12 or 5 or 7 on weekdays. That's how we're kind of doing it at the moment. So in the last 5 days, so Ed Watts with his brand new series, Deep Dive. He's obviously, we have our Cracking the Codex series with Ed and Scrivo as they take those first looks at the new detachments from various codexes. Ed's going to be deep diving older ones, okay? And so he's going through the Marines at the moment. He's created all his slides. He's filmed his first one. So if you want to know the ins and outs of Anvil Siege Force, then that is the video for you. And you know what? I watched that video and I was like, this actually sounds pretty good. So I know there are a lot of Marine players out there who might be a bit bored of Mindstorm, and we're due new points soon, and all things might change, so maybe Anvil Siege Force is the one for you. Tom spoke about his podium at the Hertfordshire GT, so if you're a Drakari player, definitely check that out. People have been really positive in the comments about his videos, because he's kind of running through his different matchups and how he's played them and stuff, so check them out. Scrivo and Ed did their first look at the Orcs Codex. You know, that's an hour long look through
the push that button.
Make sure you check that one out. Jack and I played a battle over at my house and we recorded it, but we didn't record the whole thing because that'd be crazy. Who has 3 hours to go and watch a battle? So what we do is something called bite-sized battle reports, where we have a bit of a mission brief at the beginning, and then what we do is we talk through whoever's gone first, we talk through the movement phase at the end of it. So like, what have we moved where, why, what's the tactical thinking, how are we scoring our cards, what we're going to be doing in our turn, and then we come back at the end of the turn to tell you how it went. So it's very much focusing on the tactics and the learning experiences rather than kind of just like the dice rolls and that. And we still try and get our personalities across and that sort of thing. They generally run about 20 minutes. So if you think a 20-minute battle report is, you know, something you'd enjoy, it's gone down really well. It's already got over 1,000 views in one day. So go and check it out. It's my Eldari MSU versus Jack using Kalyon, but the new Tau Codex. Halfway through, I was like, this is fairly one-sided. And by the end is, you can't get closer than how it actually ends. So definitely check that out. Bugwatch is going from strength to strength. And many of you listening are probably Tyranid fans because Davey's done such an amazing job of building up the Tyranid community on our channel. He's had a few interviews, and he's just spoken to Michael, who went 5-1 at the Scorched Earth GT with Assimilation Swarm. I have literally no idea what that does. and he had a really good interview. Again, Tyranid fans are lapping this up. So go check out that video. And finally, as you will know, State of Play. That's something where we interview the best players in the world and get the lowdown, the gossip on how to play the faction. And we spoke to the one and only Innes Wilson, all about Space Marines. So if you're interested in Space Marines, then make sure you check that out. But as you can see, like, that's taken me quite a long time to talk through that, right? We're just producing so much stuff at the moment. We are really really keen to start pushing out more members only content, and you know, a lot of our stuff does go out early, so you know, the incentive for members only content is obviously that we have more members. We've kind of got 14 members, so 14 people, thank you very much, you 14. 5 of those are in fact coaching clients, so if you're interested in getting early content or specific content and that sort of thing, you know, you get access to an extra Discord where you can literally just request videos and we make them, right? People have requested a TTS tutorial, and we've got someone making one on how to use TTS at the moment. Please do consider becoming a member. We deliberately kind of don't charge much at all, but at the moment as a channel, we've got a lot of positive vibes going on. We feel in a really good place. Like, from our perspective, our analytics are really going from strength to strength at the moment. We're keen to make as good a go of it this year as possible. And it's all down to all of you wonderful people and subscribers. So thank you very much. And do consider becoming a member for even more juicy content. That's enough of me rambling on. Shall we go to questions?
And subscribe to the Old World channel.
Yeah, make sure you subscribe to the Old World channel, because if you have any interest in Old World, and if you don't like Old World, it's, you know, think of this, you could make Ed feel slightly happy about himself.
You could make me feel again.
You could feel, you just feel.
I wish I could feel again.
Yeah. For the podcast listeners, he just stared incredibly awkwardly directly on the lens. Just imagine Ed staring for your soul. That's what just happened. But yeah, we had a question, right?
Yeah, we got one podcast question. Hannibal says, what is your mental approach to playing someone with a bad reputation or someone you have a negative experience with before? That's a good question that we did not touch on. So thank you, Hannibal.
Okay, so I've actually got a... I've got one... Well, I've encountered this before. So we won't name names. I played someone and the game was fine. But I knew that player had a bit of a reputation. And then a few weeks later... there was a bit of an incident between this player and some of our other teammates, shall we say. And it all blew up a bit at an event. And then the very next week, I got drawn into this player round one. And I literally went to that table like, oh no, how is this going to be? So I just did exactly kind of what I've spoken about previously. I just went on a full charm offensive. I just pretended there was nothing there at all. You could see as I walked up to the table, he was prepared for this to be like awkward. He was like looking at me very uncertainly. I acted like there was literally nothing had ever happened. I hadn't been involved in the previous thing. So it was very easy for me to gloss over to an extent. And, you know, we played the game and it was exactly as my experience had been previously. I knew this player had the potential to be awkward and tricky, but I just was really nice. I was just really friendly and it worked out fine. And, you know,
it must have felt really good when you beat him, right?
No, but maybe I let him win. That's let him win.
Very savvy of you. Yeah.
But no, and you know, we actually spoke about the situation afterwards and kind of addressed that. Like for me, it's there's one other player who I really do not want to have to play, which is the guy that kicked off at me for taking my Eldar to the Common player.
You ruin it for everyone, mate.
I've taken my
competitive list
to that super casual super major.
Yeah, and that is a guy I am genuinely not looking forward to playing. Because it was an unpleasant experience. But you know what? I'm also still 99% certain that if I do draw him at an event, I'll go over there and I'll be exactly the same as normal. I'll just try and go on that charm offensive and just go over the top of the potential vibes. Because it's really easy, isn't it, to be like, just, oh, whatever, let's just get through this game. But actually, it doesn't benefit anyone. You might as well try and have that fresh start. So that's how I would approach it anyway.
For me, it's not so much awkward people, it's scummy players. So people that you know cheat. That's my mental shit list. And unfortunately, the longer you play, the longer that list gets, and you just know that there are some players to look out for. And unfortunately, they tend to drift towards the tops of the tables or the bottom, because, you know, you can be bad and still be scum. But yeah, so I've been fortunate in that I haven't ever had to... mate, if you cheat at a fucking game, you're scum. Yeah. Like, I'm not making any bones about it.
Yeah,
it's toy soldiers. Like, yeah, people can make careers out of it. People can play it seriously. And, you know, people can be very good at it. But if you're cheating, have a word with yourself. Like, everyone knows. Nobody likes you. Get a grip. Yeah, so there will be a day that I have to put up with one of those people. And I.
What would you do? What would your approach be?
I don't know, because one of the things that I genuinely feel passionately about, and this is going to be such a nerdy thing to say, is competitive integrity. I genuinely, truly, deeply care about competitive integrity, and it really annoys me when that is disrupted, whether it's through the way an event is run or allowing cheaters to come back to your circuit. Zach, I love your events, but, you know, there are banned cheaters that just come back. What's up with that? Yeah, I don't know. I hope that I could be the bigger person, but I'd be watching them like a hawk, that's for sure.
I think that's it. People do get these reputations. You know, there's no one with this reputation at the top table there's no one who plays like that that doesn't have the reputation at top tables. You just know them, and you just need to set the tone early For me, I said before, I'm shy as anything, but when I'm at a table, I just don't stop talking. It's all about intent, going, this is what we're doing here, this is what you're doing here. If you want to do this, do you want to move your model back so I can't shoot it? Was that your intention? And when you start playing that collaborative game with them, it just shuts that down.
That's exactly like the guy who had a go at me at the two-day event. One of the things that actually initially made it a bit awkward was I was like, I play very much by intent, you know, and so you've got this ability that if I move within 9, you can reactive move. I'm just saying it out. I'm never going to be trying to trigger that. So if I do get a bit close, just like let me know, because I'm never going to want to be triggering it. And he was like, yeah, but I still do it. I was speaking to Zach afterwards. He was like, yeah, there's been loads of issues here before with this guy and things that happened. So I did exactly, it almost enhanced my gameplay for the one turn that I got to play with him before he threw his toys out of the pram and conceded. I was very much like, right, okay, so I'm doing this and my intent here is doing this. So can you just measure for me that this is just 9.01 out? And yeah, you're okay. And am I 9? And I was like an overdrive, right? And I'm sure if I played the 5 turns, it would have been like super draining. But when you have got those awkward people, they have no choice, as you say. Like they have to get suckered into it. They can't just go, no, I'm not going to measure that 9 for you, and then I'm going to check it afterwards. Right? If you're playing that sort of guy, like, well, I don't think there's any hope, is there? No. Nearly everyone.
I think at that point you get a judge.
Yeah, exactly right.
So my opponent is deliberately withholding information.
Yeah, exactly. Because I mean, Davey and Jack played someone at an event recently. It sounded like hilarious. I won't go into details, but the group chat they were filling us in on, like this guy. Oh my word! It sounded like something from hell. Like, here's one example just to summarize. I guess a bad player experience. The guy had done his movement phase. Jack's in his head. He's like, right now it's time to rapid ingress. The guy goes, right, I'm now going to shoot with my character or whatever. Rolls the dice. Jack goes, wait, I need to rapid ingress. And the guy goes, well, it's too late now. I've already rolled my shooting attacks. Like, I mean, and that is like when you've got a player like that level, you have to get a judge involved. Because, or you have to be a really confident person, and we're all different, aren't we? Like, some people are happy to manage conflict, some people aren't. I think that's about knowing it about yourself. But at the end of the day, if you don't like managing conflict in order to not let yourself get run over, you just got to be the school child and go tell on them. Just, you know,
also destigmatize it. Like, there's nothing wrong with it. Having played Magic now, just if there is if you and your opponent think something different, you go, judge comes over, clears it up. And it's not like
to decide for us. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Especially if it's a rules query, because sometimes interpretations can be completely wonky. Just look at error denial. No one gets it right. I had a Belgian player on the weekend say to me, well, I'm scoring half of it, but you didn't have anyone there. And I was like, not sure it quite works that way, buddy. And then on the flip side, Innes went, no, I can't do it because I haven't got anyone there. I'm like, people said it was such certainty at either end of the scale, both at a very high level. And I was like, cool.
Yeah. So, yeah, I think that's a really important point. It's so easy to be like, oh, I don't want to call a judge because that's going to be awkward. And that looks like I am like making a big deal about something. It was actually, no, they're just there to support. A situation, and like in Magic, it's just the norm. Whereas in 40k, it's a bit like, well, I'm telling on you. It's like that, so I'm going to get a judge, and there is that stigma to it, and it shouldn't be. And I think we just need to see more players doing it, like, you know, just because it's one of those things. I think the more people you see calling judges over, maybe the more comfortable you would be calling a judge yourself, I guess. Just call judges, guys. That could be our new thing we're going to try and launch, you know, fair play and more judge calls.
Any judges watching are just like, oh, for fuck's sake. Now my workload went up 10 times.
Plus guys, fuck.
But yeah, oh no. Yeah.
Have you got the rule ready?
Judges in.
I think it's important that we're talking about the major minority here as well. This doesn't happen very often.
It's so easy. They're the memorable times, so it's so easy to harp on about them. But it's just, most people are playing just perfectly fine, aren't they?
Yeah, across all of the tournament games I've had, I've probably had like 5 or 6 games where I'm like, I've had an issue that needed to be dealt with, as opposed to, just having a nice game with an opponent. Sometimes you've got someone who's less enthusiastic than you, but that's fine. That's not illegal. sucks for me, but someone might be hungover and then they beat you. Like, oh well, yeah. I don't have to talk to them again. But they weren't a bad person, so you know,
yeah.
I won't tell anyone about it. I'll just be like, that was a bit of a waste of 3 hours of my life.
Hmm.
I've had one experience where I've played someone going into the. It was my first game of a tournament going in, and it was a person with a known history.
Mm.
And that was a challenge for me because I was going and going, what do I have to do? And I spent more time worrying about the game, about what could have happened, when in reality, he'd brought a Space Wolves list that countered late ninth edition Dark Angels quite well. So him just playing it clean actually was fine because he was going to roll me, did the job. And that kind of, on the flip side of that, it was like, it made me think, well, actually, these people that make these stupid decisions when they're pressured in a game, maybe they don't need to. And that's actually quite a sad thing, really. Like, maybe these people are making these questionable decisions out of desperation, perhaps. And it made me feel sorry for the guy, because I was like, well, actually...
It's funny, as soon as you said Space Wolves, I was like, oh, I know who you mean.
Yeah, and it was a shame, because it was like, it was a really good game, but it was tinged by the fact that there was that reputation, and it's still not gone.
And it's and that's the thing, is that you have that preconception, and like going back to the question, it's like, how do you manage the preconception where you just have to watch them and that sort of thing. Yeah. But at the same time, you know, it's you don't want to try and jump the gate. It's very easy to be like, I could have sworn that model moved like half an inch, and it's whereas normally you wouldn't have picked up on it. So it's quite easy to have those preconceptions, and you still got to try and be as fair.
It's a slight tangent, but last weekend there was a Hellstorm event, and I was looking after my 2-year-old, so I couldn't play. But I made the effort to go down. It's only half an hour away from me. Went down, had breakfast with everyone, and just walked around tables for the first hour and just talked to people. And when you're at an event but not playing, you realize how not serious it is. It's so easy to lose sight of it while you're hyper-focused for 3 hours, then 3 hours, then 3 hours. And between those breaks, you're analyzing what your next game is going to be, looking at lists. But then when you're not in that mindset at an event, you just go, this is just a social thing. Like, the results really don't matter. And, you know, this is the most important thing in the world, like, on that day. And it's just not. It just reinforced it for me.
Yeah, no, 100% agree.
Cool. Yeah, I think we've nailed it there, boys. Good job. Thanks all for coming. There were no extra questions in the chat. I see how it is.
We answered all the questions.
We did answer all the questions. We turned up, did our job, and now we're going to go to bed. Well, I'm going to paint until 4 a.m. these chaps are going to go to sleep at a normal time, like human beings. All right.